morning for your word that is truth, and we thank you for your spirit who is the spirit of truth. Oh, we bind in any spirit that would seek to stop us from hearing what your spirit is saying. We bind all deception. We bind all false spirits, divination, witchcraft. We bind you in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, God, for the work of your spirit in our lives and the work of your spirit in this place. And God, we want to yield to you that you would continue to have your way in us and amongst us and through us, God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. You are worthy, so worthy of all praise, Jesus. So worthy of all praise. So worthy of all praise. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm kind of concluding a little bit, I think, on this getting back to normal theme that I've been running with this year so far, because I feel that the Lord wants to speak to us about the kingdom of God going forward and some things about the kingdom of God. I've got some notes, but I just feel like that, you know, God just wants to speak to us this morning. Who believes that? God wants to speak to us. Because the reality is this, that, you know, Jesus Christ gave his all for us. The Father gave his all. He gave his one and only Son. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Not to keep us in the same situations where we got saved from, but to deliver us and heal us and set our feet upon the solid rock on which we can stand and we can declare that Jesus is Lord. Is there an amen? There are too many believers in our nation that have prayed some sort of prayer but are still stuck doing what they were doing 10 years ago. The mindsets, the addictions, the things that people battle with, that they've not been let that they've not let go of or not been broken free of. But that is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. He came to set the captives free. And we know the truth that we said last week, that if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. God is in the business, that's a bad way of saying it, of breaking people free of addictions, of destructive behaviors, of patterns, of mindsets, of things that happened to you years ago. He's in the business of breaking you free of them if we will but yet yield to him. And that is the key. Are we content just to live life as we've always lived life until he comes again? Are we content with where our city of Bundaberg is today? Or is there something in us of the Holy Spirit that is saying, God, there is more. And I want the more. And we need the more. Bundaberg needs the more. We need to see the power of your salvation manifesting in our city, because there's too much crime. There's too much addiction. There's too much abuse. There's too much broken families. There's too much sickness. Are we content with just living life the way we've always lived it, or do we have something that stirs in us that says, God, we need you more? Am I just speaking to myself? Sure. We have to get back to normal. Normal as is contained in this. We have to get back to normal. The message every time you walk out the door, as you go, this is for you. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. A transformed life. We're called to be a movement, not a monument. It's not a come and see what God has done. but let us go and make disciples. It's not come and see and be contained and stay within these four walls, but it's actually go and make disciples. As you have received, freely you receive, freely give. It's the book of Acts. If we took the time to go right through the book of Acts, we would see that what happened on the day of Pentecost was just the beginning. The tongues of fire, the miracles, the 3,000 that were added to the church that day, it was just the beginning. The living life together, selling goods and possessions and helping those in need, it was just the beginning. Because there was more added and more added and more added and more added. God was creating for himself a holy people to be set apart. A God people on earth as it is in heaven. It's like the river in Ezekiel 47, the river that's flowing from the temple. The further the river went out from the temple, the deeper that it had gone. It's the river of God's grace. It's not meant to be contained. It's meant to be released. And the problem is that we give into fear and timidity. We give into the lies of the enemy. We give into the things of this world rather than say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. That's exactly what was shared before. It costs us something. I think I said a few weeks ago that the love of God, the cost of the love of God has already been paid. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But there is a cost to follow him. And it may be a cost to your reputation. It may be a cost to your career focusness. It may be a cost to your bank balance. It may be a cost relationally. There's always a cost. And the question is, are we willing, and is the church in our nation willing to pay the cost? That is the question. Because we live a comfy life. You know, it was my prayer that when the whole COVID situation hit, that might be the start of a change. That people would start to realize that, hang on a minute, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Hang on a minute, things can be taken away from me just like that. But sadly, I think the church has just gone back to the way it was. Think about Jesus. And he says in John 7, verse 37 to 38, he said, whoever believes in me, hands up here who believes in Jesus. It says rivers, rivers of living water will flow. Oh, we just need to break the dam. The fear, the timidity, the unbelief, the things that have happened, the things that are blocking the flow of the Spirit, self-consciousness, comfort, apathy, just break the dam. Start to prophesy over yourself, fear and timidity, you have no part of me anymore. Because I have power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name. The flow. We read in the book of Acts, it was a flow and it was uncontainable. It couldn't stop it. Rome couldn't stop it. No governor, no ruler, no man in authority could stop it. No educational system, no institution, no one could stop it. So the question is today, why do we let the things of this world stop us? When we say on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that we are heading into a time when the church needs to rise. You've heard me say before that in the past, moves of God have been established around a figure. Well, I mean, obviously Jesus. But a man or a woman of God has been a centerpiece, a focal point of that. But I believe that we are in a time where it's time for the church, the body of Christ, to rise up. It's not about a person anymore. It's about each and every one of us. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you. Darkness may be over the earth, thick darkness may be over the people, but the Lord's glory rises on you. You need to come out from under the bushel and just be the salt and light that you're called to be. Amen. We're here to encourage you to see what God has placed in you. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not my good works. It's not my efforts. It's the anointing. I've found myself personally over the past few weeks just in tears in the presence of God, in cafes, in my lounge room, on the keyboard. I had lunch with someone the other day, and they encouraged me. They encouraged me by saying, when you pray for me, I have never felt the power of God like I have felt when you've prayed for me. And they said to me, how did you get that? It wasn't a bad question. It wasn't from a wrong motive. They're actually asking how. You know the answer? Brokenness. Oh, brokenness. Where you realize that it is not you, it's not about you, there's nothing good in you that can do it, but you are totally broken and dependent upon Jesus Christ for every word, every action, in everything. When you get the revelation that it's not might, not by might nor by power, we can't do it, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. Where we take our eyes off ourselves and we look to Him and we say, that's true, I have nothing good to offer, but yet I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, that's the truth. But believers get stuck. We get stuck in that place where it's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a failure. No, you're not. That's a lie from the enemy. Start to agree with the word of God. Start to agree with it. His grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more of my weakness, that Christ may be exalted. It's okay to have a beating heart. It's okay to be a little bit anxious. It's okay, but don't let it control you. When God says, walk across the room and pray for that person, go and pray for them. When God says, help that person, go and help them. When God gives you a scripture or a verse for someone of encouragement, go and share it with them. Sure. Last Sunday, I walked away from last Sunday and I was so encouraged. Was there anyone else that was encouraged? It was just a snippet of what the church is meant to be. Even when we gather in a larger setting, it's not just one person. There's people sharing testimonies. There's people giving words. There's people laying hands on people and praying for people. The Spirit of God is moving through the people. That's our heart. That's part of our heart. We don't want to just do church. We don't want to just be a place where people come and go, gee, that was really good. That was really good this morning. No, we want to be a church where the priesthood of believers starts to operate. And when people start to realize that you are graced and gifted and called in Jesus. And you might leave this place a little bit challenged some days. But I believe there also there'd be this stirring of God that says, there is more for me. Why hasn't anyone ever told me that there's more for me? You see, the religious structures and systems have made people reliant upon programs and events and models, but we need to become more reliant upon Jesus Christ. We don't forsake the gathering together. Too many people throw the baby out with the bathwater and they forsake the gathering of the saints. In small groups, large groups, prayer gatherings, whatever. No. Because we're stronger when we're together. The enemy always wants to isolate. Because that's when we start to believe the lies, because we're just listening to him. Man, I haven't even got anywhere through my notes this morning. Sure, leave them alone. Should I just chuck them out the door? Sure. They were so... Do you dare to believe that we could see that? You know, one of my prayers has been... One of my prayers has been to see whole families baptized together. Mum, dad, kids. Salvation has come to the house. And they're all being baptized together. I've seen husbands and wives baptized together, but I want to see the whole package. I want to see mum, dad, and the kids, maybe the grandparents if they're not saved yet. Whole families, whole households. Under the conviction of God and repentant and turning to Christ and being set free. Amen. The early church was so much. They were dependent upon God, not just dependent upon God in some things, but in everything. They depended upon the power of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I come to you not with wise and persuasive words, so that my... You know, so that you will rely upon what I have, but I want to come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, because I want your faith to rest on the power of God, not on my words. The early church was dependent upon God for everything. It's like, if God doesn't show up in this circumstance, we're in trouble. That's the kind of faith they had. And we see that right throughout Scripture. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, David. They're in positions where if God doesn't show up, we're in trouble. But guess what? God shows up. God shows up. God shows up. They were so dependent upon the Lord. My prayer is that we will become dependent upon him in everything. Is there an amen? His love, his grace, his power, his anointing, his provision, his touch. We would be dependent upon him for everything. They were distinctly prophetic. You know, We had a gathering during the week, one of our equipping things, and we're talking about gifts. And, you know, every one of us is graced. Every one of us is gifted. Amen. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. He says, the end of all things is near. This is 2,000 years ago. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer, and above all, maintain constant love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Then it says this, then Peter writes, he says, be hospitable to one another without complaining, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. And if anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides. We see in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, we see those words, each one. Each one is gifted. Each one has a gift. Each one has received the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Each one. And we need to continue to remember that, because you need to declare that over yourself. I am graced and I am gifted. Each one has been given a manifestation. Each one. I am grace. I know I'm gifted. Do you believe that this morning? That's four. Each one is graced and each one is gifted. You're an anointed and you're appointed for such a time as this. We are the change makers in Bundaberg. The people of God are the change makers in Bundaberg. If we don't do it, as in the people of God, Who will? In fact, we see what happens when the church doesn't arise in a nation. Put it this way. Let's just say that you are blessed with a rental home. You bought a home, you got a rental home, but you don't do anything with it. It just sits there. What happens to the house over time? Deteriorates. Worst case scenario. Squatters come in. Yep. And people live in the house illegally. Have you ever seen that? I've seen it plenty of times. They have no right to be there, but they're there. And all they do is cause damage to the place. Now, you know, that is exactly what has happened in our nation of Australia. Jesus said to us, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You are called my people to go and make disciples of this nation of Australia, the people that are in it. But because the church hasn't done it over a period of decades, squatters have come in, the enemy has come in, and he is illegally camped in different places in our nation. He is illegally camped in different institutions and different places in our nation because the church hasn't walked in the mandate that we've been given. We've been given a house, but we haven't done anything with it. And the enemy's come and taken possession. Well, you know what? It's time to actually start to arise and take possession of that which Jesus has given to us. And now you say over yourself this morning, I am graced, I am gifted, I'm anointed, and I'm called for such a time as this. Ooh. They were relying upon God. They were a prophetic people. Hands up who can prophesy. Wow. Let me tell you what Scripture says. And it will be in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my Spirit even on servants in those days, both men and women, and they will all prophesy. Now, hands up who can prophesy. Hang on, did we not just hear that verse of Scripture? I will pour out my Spirit on flesh, men and women, and they will all prophesy. Now, hands up who can prophesy. God can speak to you and God can speak through you. This is what I'm saying. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to normal. They were a prophetic people. They heard from God. They listened to God. If you read Acts 8, I have no idea how we're going for time, so I'm really sorry if I'm going over. An angel of the Lord. So he was Philip. He was Philip, and there was this massive move of God that was happening, and there were people that were being baptized in the Spirit and people coming to the Lord. And in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to Philip, and he said, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. We could read the rest of the chapter. But Philip was listening to God. In the midst of a move of the Spirit, in the midst of mighty stuff that was happening, Philip heard, go and find this man. Go and find this one. Go and find this person. It was a divine encounter. Saul on the road to Damascus, divine encounter. Cornelius' house. He wanted to hear about this man named Jesus. Right throughout the book of Acts, we see that they are a people that are regularly hearing from God, open to God, being led by God, and doing what God wants for them to do. We see throughout the book of Acts that they were flexible and it was unpredictable. Hands up, who likes having everything the same all the time? Or let me put it another way. Who likes change? Okay, we've got a very small percentage of people who like change. But you know what? You cannot walk with Jesus and not expect there to be change. Change in your life, change in your circumstances. We should gather here. We should gather wherever we gather, and we should expect change. We should expect the unpredictable. We should desire that. God, break the box. Break the box. Break the boxes that man has built. Break the boxes that traditions have built. Break the boxes that religion has built. And let us get back to the Word of God, where it's spontaneous, it's unpredictable. And when we gather, we just don't really know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be good. The early church was a church that looked beyond the walls. In fact, they didn't have a lot of walls. They met in Solomon's colonnade. They met in big spaces. I've heard so many people say to me, oh, you know, gatherings, large gatherings are not New Testament. Well, that is completely wrong. And that is completely unbiblical. They actually met in large gatherings, thousands, thousands gathering. That's what I say. Get the vision of what would it be like if the church in Bundaberg met at Salter's Oval and there was 3,000 of us gathered on the Oval worshiping Jesus. That's the kind of thing that happened back in the book of Acts. But then, yes, they also met house to house. You see, once a week for a couple of hours was not enough for them. They're like, I want to grow. I want to be all that Christ has for me to be. They were willing to pay the cost. They were always looking beyond the walls. You know, when I was reading this during the week, can you bear with me just for 5 more minutes? Is that okay? Half hour or so. Oh, okay, good. We're going good. You know, I think the reason that the church has a lot of programs is because we're not living the life that we should live. Let me give you an example. When I read in Scripture that the early church was together, they were one, one heart, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. They lived life together. They shared goods and possessions with each other. The Spirit of God was moving. There was healings and there was signs and wonders that was happening. And it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It doesn't say in Scripture that they started a new program to go out and reach the unbelievers. What I'm trying to say is that when the church actually starts to live the life that we are called to live, when we and the people that call themselves believers in Bundaberg start to live the life that we are actually called to live in Christ, our light will shine in such a way that the Lord will add to our number daily those who are being saved. We don't need a program for it. We just need to shine the light of Christ. It's the same with things like care ministry. And yes, we do need more help in our care ministry. We need more people who are willing to care. But it's because the body of Christ is so busy, they don't give another person a thought during the week until they see them next Sunday. Oh, that's not, please don't take that the wrong way. But you know what I'm trying to say? Life can be so busy. Life can be so full. There can be so much on that I don't really even consider my brothers or sisters until I see them the next week. And so we need others who are creating space in their life to care. But what would happen if we shut the TV off? What would happen if we closed down social media? What would happen if we just had a few moments where we prayed and said, Lord, is there someone that I should ring today? Lord, is there someone that I should visit today? You know what would happen? I reckon the Lord would speak to each and every person, and we wouldn't need so much of a care ministry because the body is starting to look after one another. I guess what I'm trying to say and what the Lord is trying to say to us is that as we return to normal, everybody contributes. Everybody contributes through gifts, serving, giving. Everybody contributes. The westernized church model is such a model of consumerism, where people come to get. And if they don't like what they're getting, they'll let you know. I didn't like that message today. I really didn't appreciate it. You know that song that we sang today? I really didn't like that song. I've heard it all over 25 years. But the reality is that even when we gather in this space today, we don't gather for us. We gather for Him and for one another. What if we came in that, every time we came in that door, we came with an attitude that I'm going to give, not receive. Well, we all receive, but my priority is I am coming to give. I'm coming to give my praise to Jesus. I'm coming to give my worship. I'm coming to give to my brothers and sisters. I want to bless them. I want to encourage them. I want to pray for them. There is a place for each and every person. You know, the good news is that there is a place for everyone in the kingdom of God. There is a place in the kingdom of God for you. So where do we go from here? Soldiers Oval. Can we organise that, Deputy Mayor? Instead of the Dolphins Bulldogs game or whoever's playing. Sorry, it's booked out because the church in the city is using it. Woo! Jesus said, music team, you can come. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you and you will bear much fruit. The reality of growing in Christ is just staying, abiding, dwelling, realizing that it's not me, it's not my best efforts, it's Him. It's what He's done, it's who He is, it's what He will do. You know, and then he said, even those who bear fruit, I will prune. Sometimes in our life, we go through a bit of pruning. Does anyone like pruning? It's a little bit discomfort at times because you're being pruned. You're like, oh, man, what's going on? But he says, those that bear fruit, I prune so that they will be even more fruitful. That's his heart for us. To break off limitations, to break off restrictions, to break off these things that have held us back. And he said, son and daughter, I have more for you. So let us be a people that want to get back to normal. I encourage you, not this week starting tomorrow, but next week, I'm going to start doing a chapter a day again. I didn't realize how many people were following me doing a chapter a day. So I'm going to get the word out this week. We're going to start another book and we're going to do a chapter a day. And I think where we're going to start is with the book of Acts. Because I think God wants to speak to us. Because he's saying, my sons, my beloved sons and my beloved daughters, let's just get back to normal. Normal Christianity. Biblical Christianity. Where the love of God and the power of God is manifesting. Where the character of God and the anointing of God is being displayed. Where the people are living lives of worship. And we are seeing the kingdom of heaven, the authority that we have been given, manifest on earth as it is in heaven. Where we walk in love, honor, humility, authenticity. Where we're family that never give up on one another. Family that never quit. Family that never stop believing because the word of God says love covers a multitude of sin.
I have a sense of the spirit. It's a precious God. God is doing a big thing. Not to be on the top, not to find myself in the back. So we're starting to